OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for a combination of Parshat Bamidbar and Yom Yerushalayim. Parshat Bamidbar will be in 2 days' time on Shabbat. 2 days after that is Yom Yerushalayim, the 28th of Iyar, and we will also relate to Rosh Chodesh Sivan coming up next Wednesday. So it's a busy show, and I hope we'll have time to touch on this and that. Recording and first broadcast is Thursday, Yom Chamishi, Chaf Dalid, the 24th of Iyar, the 29th of May. This Shabbat, as I mentioned, we bench Rosh Chodesh Sivan, which will be next Wednesday. We read Parshat Bamidbar, which is the third longest parsha in the Torah, and we'll talk a little bit about this and a little bit about that. As for now, Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli, tehiyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor ya Adonai mi ya'amod. Ki imacha hasalicha lema'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kivata nafshi v'lidvaro hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara uvashivya ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha. Hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara lirvacha u'me'afela la'ora u'mishibud l'geula hashta ba'agala u'vizman kariv v'nomar amen.
Fell out.
I don't have the full album details on that. I have a notation that it's from a fellow named Ralph, an album by him. I am sure many of you know the expression, "I wasn't born yesterday." Well, I know of a little fellow who, if he could talk now, would be one of the few people in the world who could not say that in honesty, since he was born yesterday. A little boy too, Ayala and Tuvia, or Andy, however you know him, Hass, and I would like to dedicate in his honor the Torah which we will share during this show, and to wish a Mazel Tov to Ayala and Andy. May you bring him to the Brit in time and with good health, and raise him to Torah, to Chuppah, and to Ma'asim Tovim. There's an old joke about two guys seeing something happen on a 5 o'clock news report, and Then when came 11 o'clock and they were doing the news again and had a report on the same incident, one bet the other that he knew what would happen, or it didn't happen, or it couldn't happen again, or it did happen again. I don't really remember the joke. I remember my reaction to it, and I want to relate it, as I have in the past, to the threshold or the crossroads which we stand now for this particular week of Parshat Bamidbar coming up for Rosh Chodesh Sivan for Yom Yerushalayim. And what I mean by that is we're going to read the book of Bamidbar, which in itself is almost an embarrassing book for the Jewish people. Terrible things happen in this book of episodes that occurred during the period between Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus, and the arriving at the threshold of the land of Israel. I'm talking about the sin of the spies and Korach's rebellion and various and sundry times that we complained to God about water, about food, and turned our back and disregarded what he said over and over again. Now the point is that we read this in the weekly portions last year and the year before and the year before that and on and on and on back in history. And we're going to read it again. And what comes to mind is, when are the children of Israel going to learn their lesson? When are they going to learn that they are facing a choice of following God and going into the land of Israel to live a life of Torah as He wants us to live and be secure in peace and prosperity in our land? We were supposed to do that, and various things that were done by the generation of the wilderness, as it's called, prevented that smooth arrival to the land of Israel. Once we finally got there 40 years later, it still wasn't smooth, and even though eventually the temple was built and it stood for 410 years, it fell, and the people were exiled. When are we going to learn those lessons? Now, the generations in which these various things occurred cannot do it again and learn from their mistakes, but we certainly can. And I find it ironic or poignant, I don't really know which is the better word in this case, for looking ahead in the next couple of days to Yom Yerushalayim, the reunification of Jerusalem, to Bamidbar, the exile in the wilderness, to Rosh Chodesh Sivan, which represents the arrival at Har Sinai, and a Jewish unity that has never since been realized of Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Hahar, a single people with a single heart ready to receive the Torah. And that means ready to commit themselves to the Torah, and that means to commit themselves not just to the Torah, but to Eretz Yisrael as well. And they went wrong someplace, and we know where, and we know what they did, and we know what we're supposed to do, and somehow, throughout Jewish history, many Jews keep making the same kind of mistakes, and still continue the galut exile, not just physical exile, but spiritual and emotional exile, that is the definition of Jewish history. But there are lessons to learn, and there are things we could do about them. As much as our Prime Minister has referred to us, people like me, as delusional fantasists, whatever that means, I can't help but believe with all my heart that after the miraculous events of the Six-Day War in 1967, the anniversary of which, 41st anniversary, we're coming up to on Sunday night, Monday, the Israel Center marking it and celebrating it with our annual gala dinner, this year at the Great Synagogue in Jerusalem, that Yom Yerushalayim says to me, this is the direction that God is pointing you in. You now have a reunited Yerushalayim. You now have Hebron back in your hands, and you have Shechem, and you have a certain amount of territory which you were kept away from for the last 19 years before that, and who knows how many years before that. Do something with it. Do that which is necessary to advance the cause of the realization of the real Jewish dream. Let me put this in a slightly different way, and maybe it's changing gears, but it's something that's, to me, very powerful. Im b'chukotai telechu. We are coming off of the Sedra from last week of b'chukotai. If you follow God's statutes, if you keep Torah and mitzvot, then you will live with peace and tranquility in your land, Eretz Yisrael. Peace within yourselves, within the Jewish world, and you will hold your enemies at bay and succeed against them. That is the way to do it. Not to take land that by the grace of God fell into our hands in the victory of 67 and offer it back to Syria, back to the Palestinians, whatever that means. Every time I run into a Jew who was born in Israel before 1948, I get that extra thrill of knowing that his birth records and his passport, place of birth, Palestine, that, whatever you want to call it, is not what the world is trying to make of it. Palestine was a name given to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, Israel, whatever you call it, belongs to the Jewish people. And we have to be the ones to say that, and not decide who between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and McCain are the ones that will best be the ones in the White House for. We have to worry about the Prime Minister. We have to worry about the government. We have to be concerned by the attitude of the Jewish people when the Jewish people and their leadership say, I am not delusional and I am not being a fantasy person, but in realistic terms, im b'chukotai telechu is the way to go, and not, quote, painful concessions. That is a term that irks me very much. Then maybe we'll get someplace. But it's not going to happen the way that the government currently seems to be proceeding. Let's look at the chronology for a moment. We came out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, Pesach, the 15th of Nisan, in the year 2448 from the creation. About a week later, we crossed through the sea, and the Egyptians were drowned, and we sang Oz Yashir Moshe. 5 weeks, during which time we went from place to place, received a preview of the Torah, including the Shabbat, its first presentation being with the Mun. Let's not get into all of the details. And 6 weeks out of Egypt, roughly, we were at Sinai, camped opposite the mountain, as a unified people. Less than a week later, we experienced divine revelation and received the Torah, the down payment of which were the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments. Moshe spent 40 days and 40 nights, after which time he was to bring down the tablets of stone engraved by God with the Aseret HaDibrot. But Egel HaZahav, the golden calf, and castigating the people, purifying them, praying for them, beseeching God to forgive them. Again, a second set of luchot. We're already now on the Yom Kippur of the year 2449. Following that was the activity to construct the Mishkan, and several months down the road, the Mishkan was finally put into operation on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. One of the first major activities of this new tabernacle was the first annual observance of Pesach, with the bringing of Korban Pesach for the first time following the Exodus. And then 2 weeks after that is the beginning of the book of Bamidbar, where a census is taken of the people, a military census, males from 20 years up, kol yotzei tzava b'Yisrael, the ones who go out in the army, which means we're talking preparation for entering the land of Israel and the business of conquest that was to be at hand at that point. So far, so good, except maybe the question of why we're still at Sinai. That's a little bit problematic. We shouldn't have been there, except that that's what happened. I'm not going to try to explain it. I'd have to look it up first. But we're there. And 20 days after this census, on the 20th of Iyar, we get our marching orders, and we go. About a month and a half of traveling, and we send an advanced scouting party into Eretz Yisrael, supposedly to determine the best way to approach. 40 days later, they finish their scouting mission, and on that fateful Tisha B'Av, they panic the people. The people are punished. They don't go in right away, and it's a 40-year period of wandering that we face. To put it plainly, we have a lot to be upset and embarrassed for from the book of Bamidbar, and we've got to break out of that mold, which is what I said towards the beginning. So look what the calendar does for us. I started by saying Parshat Bamidbar, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Hold that thought.
I'm Rod Sterling. You're listening to
Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
The thought I asked you to hold was Parshat Bamidbar, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Those aren't always exactly in the same orientation that they are this week, but this year, but they are very often aligned, more or less. They come into our consciousness roughly at the same time. And of course, I'm not talking about the sequence of events as they actually happened over 3,300 years ago. I'm talking about the sequence of events as presented to us by our Jewish calendar, by our Parshat HaShavua. And things get warped and thrown into each other in different ways, but it's all there for a lesson. So at the same time that one ponders the events that occurred after the Exodus, after Matan Torah, and it almost started going downhill from then, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, which we read about a week later, almost a week later, in the Torah reading of Shavuot, which hopefully I'll talk much more about next week, the reminder, the awareness of here is your proverbial second chance, third, fourth, tenth, 100th chance, 1,000th chance, because you're once again brought back in time to Bachodesh Hashlishi Letzeit Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim Bayom Hahu Hazeh Bayom Hazeh Ba'u Midbar Sinai. On that day we came to Sinai. Here is our chance to not relive the experience, but to say, I have learned lessons from the past, and this is my plan for the future. My plan as an individual, my plan as a parent of children, how I want to raise them, how I want to bring them up, my plan as a member of the Jewish community, and how I want to help and influence my fellows in a concerted, united effort from the Jewish community, locally, nationally, and worldwide. I want to now change the subject abruptly, but you'll hopefully see, or I'll try to present it as not that abrupt a change, even though it sounds like it. We're coming up to Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Before Rosh Chodesh is the day before Rosh Chodesh, Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, this coming Tuesday. I remembered something. I hope to do it for the first time this year. I remember reading about it, and I would like to share it with you. It's called Parents' Prayer. I found it on the OU website. I recommend that you go for it, www.ou.org/other/5762, so they posted this 6 years ago, /parentsprayer, one word, parentsprayer, .htm. You will get to a page which is introduced as follows. All parents want the best for their children, that they should be good and upright, that they should have everything they need for a fruitful, joyous life. The Shlach HaKadosh writes that the best time to pray for these blessings is the day before Rosh Chodesh Sivan, for that is the month when God gave us the Torah and when the Jewish people began to be called His children. On that day, he writes, the Shlach, fathers and mothers should give charity to the poor and repent. They should even fast if they are able to. And then comes the actual prayer. It's quite long. It's in Hebrew with English translation, courtesy of Art Scroll Publications. And let's rush through just to give a flavor of what the prayer involves. It was you, Hashem, that's God, our God, before creation, and it was you, Hashem, our God, since creation. From this world to the world to come, you are God. You created the world in order to make your godliness known through your holy Torah, as the sages of blessed memory taught, in the beginning, Bereshit, the world was created for the sake of Torah and for the sake of Israel, for Israel is your nation and your heritage. It is the nation you chose from all others, to whom you gave your holy Torah, and which you brought close to your great name. To ensure the continuation of your Torah, we received from you, Hashem, our God, two commandments. You wrote in your Torah, be fruitful and multiply. And you also wrote, you shall teach them to your children, Vishinantam Livanecha. These two commandments have a single purpose. You did not create the world so that it be desolate, but rather it be inhabited by people. It is for your honor that you made, created, and fashioned the world so that we, our offspring, and the offspring of all of your people, the house of Israel, know your name and study your Torah. And so I come before you, Hashem, King, who reigns over kings, and I cast my supplication before you. My eyes dependently look toward you, until you will be gracious to me and hear my plea and grant me sons and daughters, and may they too be fruitful and multiply, they, their children, and their grandchildren until the end of all generations, so that they and I might be engrossed in your holy Torah, learning, teaching, safeguarding, performing, and fulfilling all the words of your Torah's teaching with love. Enlighten our eyes in your Torah, and attach our hearts to your commandments to love and fear your name. V'ha'er einenu b'toratecha, v'dabek libenu b'mitzvotecha li'ahava uli'irah et shemecha. That phrase, by the way, has always been one of my favorites. We ask God, and this is part of the daily prayer, not just this suggested once a year, Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. This last part is the part of the bracha right before the reciting of Shema in the morning in Shacharit. We don't ask only, let me learn Torah and do mitzvot, but ha'er einenu b'toratecha, enlighten our eyes in your Torah. Let them sparkle with an enthusiasm and a joy to learn Torah. V'dabek libenu. Attach our hearts to your commandments. Not just do mitzvot, but love what you're doing. Love of Torah and love of mitzvot is not the same as just study of Torah and practice of mitzvot. The prayer continues. Our Father, merciful Father, grant us all long and blessed life. Who is like you, merciful Father, who recalls his creatures mercifully for life? Remember us for eternal life, just as Avraham our father prayed, oh, that Yishmael might live before you with fear of heaven. It is for this reason that I come to ask and plead before you that my children and grandchildren be upright offspring, that no blemish or imperfection be found in my children or grandchildren, that they enjoy only peace, truth, and goodness, and that they be upstanding in the eyes of God and man. May they become people of Torah, masters of Scripture, Mishnah, and Talmud, masters of the secrets of Torah, people of mitzvot and acts of kindness, people of sterling character, and may they serve you with love and with true, internalized fear of heaven, not merely apparent fear. So, just an amazing wording that the Shlah is using here. And I'm looking forward to Emir Tzashem saying this prayer on this coming Tuesday. I actually know someone who says it every single day, because it's only recommended for Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It wasn't composed only for that day. Please give each individual among my descendants all their needs in an honorable fashion. Grant them health, honor, strength, and give them stature, beauty, charm, and kindness. May there be love, brotherhood, and peace among them. Provide for them proper mates from families of Torah scholars and righteous, God-fearing Jews. And may their mates also be blessed with everything I have asked you to grant them, since one prayer can affect the lives of many. You, Hashem, know all deep secrets, and before you all the recesses of my heart lay bare. You know that all which I ask is for the sake of your great and hallowed name, and for the sake of your holy Torah. Therefore answer me, Hashem, please answer me, for the sake of our holy patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, because the forefathers assist the offspring, so that they grow to be branches which reflect their roots. The Shlah HaKadosh's prayer continues and concludes with the Psalm 128. He introduces it with the words, do so for the sake of King David, the fourth leg of the holy chariot, who sings, inspired by your Holy Spirit, a song of ascents, Shir HaMa'alot. Praiseworthy is each person who fears Hashem, who walks in his path. When you eat the labor of your hands, you are praiseworthy, and it is well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the inner chambers of your home. Your children shall be like olive shoots surrounding your table. Behold, for so is blessed the man who fears Hashem. May Hashem bless you from Zion, and may you gaze upon the goodness of Jerusalem all the days of your life. And may you see children born to your children, peace upon Israel. As I said, Psalm 128, Tehillim Kuf Kaf Lamed. Eshtecha kegefen poria, yivarechecha Hashem mitzion, ur'e betuv Yerushalayim kol yemei chayecha, ur'e vanim livanecha shalom al Yisrael. That's how it concludes. Last paragraph. Please, Hashem, who hears our prayers, may the words of the prophet, and as for me, this is my covenant with them, said Hashem, my spirit that is upon you and my words that I have placed in your mouth shall not be withdrawn from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, said Hashem, from this moment and forever. A quote from Isaiah 59:21. Be fulfilled regarding me. May the expressions of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart find favor before you, Hashem, my rock and my redeemer. Yehu l'ratzon imrei fi, v'hegyon libi lefanecha Hashem tsuri v'goali. I don't know if I did justice to that reading of the tefillah, but I highly recommend going to that website. If you forget the site, you can find it by putting in a search called Parents Prayer, and this is one of the sites that came up. It's www.ou.org/other/5762/parentsprayer, one word, .htm. And as I said, I'm planning and hoping to say it on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan next Tuesday. This would have been in this week's Torah Tidbits had I found it earlier, and I'm sort of atoning for not putting it into the written form of Torah Tidbits by at least presenting it on Torah Tidbits audio. And to tie it in with the birth of Andy and Ayala Hass's baby yesterday, may they be Zocha, together with all of Klal Yisrael, for these blessings for our children. Now, I introduce this whole piece of the Shlaz Tefillah by saying it's an abrupt change of subject from what I had been speaking about, but it's not really that abrupt. And I, as I continue being a parent and a grandparent, I look back at my own parents, Aleihem HaShalom. It's a little over 10 years from my mother, Aleha Shalom, and a little less than 10 years from my father, Zichrono Livracha. But I never from my mind do I forget, or my heart do I forget them. And as a parent and a grandparent, I look back and learn things from the way they parented me, which I don't know if at the time I appreciated as much as I do in hindsight and retrospect. But I know that my beginnings as a Torah observant Jew and as a person who strives at least to have a high standard of character came from their examples and their teachings. And so did my love of Judaism and of Torah, and so did my love of Eretz Yisrael and of Israel. Not only did they take me on a trip during the summer when I was 14 years old, but all along before that and since that time, they were always talking about life and future in Eretz Yisrael. They were privileged to have 3 children, all of whom came on Aliyah. They themselves came on Aliyah. And Baruch Hashem, their children, the 3 of us, have raised children who live here, who love Torah and Eretz Yisrael. And now another generation, grandchildren, Kane Yerbu that who are also beginning to love this land and love Torah and love Jews and Judaism. So it is with grateful acknowledgement that I thank my parents and thank God for the person I am and try to be, and pay it forward, as the expression goes, for the way that I've tried to raise my children and now help them with the raising of their children. I believe the Shlaz prayer is a good thing to do any time, and especially on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and it is by no means the only thing that we will be doing for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but it's something significant. And we have to do lots and lots of things for them. Let me finish the show with a version of Im Esh Kochech Yerushalayim, which is not just a song about Jerusalem, it is an oath that Jews took and continue to take, and at every opportunity we should reaffirm our commitment to Yerushalayim, to Jerusalem, and everything that it stands for, and everything that it is, and everything that it could and should be, and Im Yirtzeh Hashem will be, and all that it represents.
Shalom.
was at a wedding not too long ago. The Mesader Kedushin was Rabbi Reuven Aberman. He made an announcement before the Chatan broke the glass, and everyone sang Imesh Kochech, that he does not want people to burst out with applause and say Mazel Tov, as is typical for the breaking of the glass, since it is a sober reminder of the destruction of Jerusalem and a pledge never to forget it. Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtameah.